After dinner, Anya felt herself growing more and more exhausted, and Gregor himself looked as tired, if not more.
Well, that's it for me.
You'll be able to sleep after 2 cups of coffee.
It doesn't affect me at all. What about you? All that vodka has to be doing something to you.
I'm fine. As long as I don't stand up.
How are you going to get upstairs?
I was hoping I could impose upon a beautiful woman to assist me.
And good luck finding one around this dump.
You always play this game with men you find attractive.
What game?
This game of tease. This cat and mouse. It grows wearisome after a while. At first it is fun, but then later...
There's no game here, Gregor. It's just how I am.
Yeah, you're as stubborn as I am, aren't you?
Probably.
You turned down an opportunity to spend the night with a famed member of the Russian intelligence service.
Yes.
That line usually works quite well.
I'll bet.
You're sure I can't convince you of the error of your ways?
Positive. Besides, what good would you be to me? You're drunk as an ox.
This is very true. But in the morning, I shall rise like the phoenix from its ashes and be a brand new lover.
Delightful.
Please. Please give me a hand upstairs. That room. That is mine.
Anya led Gregor down the hallway to his room. She walked Gregor to his bed, struggling under his large size.
Ooh.
He fell, pulling Anya down with him. She landed on top of his chest.
Oh, at last you have come to your senses.
You dragged me down here. And watch my ribs. Oh.
Sorry. How about a good night kiss?
Will you leave me alone after that?
I swear, on my honor, as a completely drunk Russian.
Anya then leaned forward. She found Gregor's lips warm as they touched hers. She could smell the vodka on his breath, but it wasn't offensive. And when Gregor put his hand behind her head and pulled in tighter, even she had to admit that the big guy could kiss. She pulled away.
Wow.
Happy now?
I may never walk again.
That's all, lover boy. Now, good night.
Anya walked to the door and took a final glance at Gregor, propped up on his bed, looking at her with sad puppy dog eyes. Outside in the corridor, she paused. It was tempting to go back in there and let Gregor ravage her. Or would she ravage him? She grinned. But in the morning, how would it play out? She didn't have enough of a read on him to know if he was looking for a quickie or a commitment. And there was no way Anya was interested in a commitment. Not yet. Anya got changed for bed as the innkeeper cleaned up from their dinner. It was certainly nice of him to go to such lengths in preparing that feast. Anya's stomach rumbled in appreciation. Everything had been utterly delicious. She wasn't sure if the innkeeper was a world-class cook or if it was simply that Anya had been so starving when they returned from the caves. Probably the latter, she surmised. She leaned back in her bed. The fluffy pillows encased her head as she stared at the ceiling. She thought about Bob and how much he lived for crazy adventures like this. At least he went out on one of them, she thought. Better this than to go out in some hospital bed languishing away from a terminal illness. She'd mourn for him, but his memory also made her happy. And to think she'd almost passed up this trip. Anya frowned at the activity in the hallway. She hoped Gregor wasn't coming to proposition her again. There was no way that Gregor could move that quietly in the drunken state he was in. Unless he was playing drunk. No, Gregor hadn't been lying about overdrinking. Of that, she felt sure. Anya had to remind herself that the inn wasn't haunted. Too many superstitions were floating around for her pragmatic mind to endure. She was falling for any little tale that came up, and it was starting to annoy her.
Hello?
Anya rolled out of bed and crept toward her door. The doorknob felt cold to the touch. Anya rationalized that she'd just go check on Gregor and make sure he was okay. Then it was back into bed and off to dreamland. Anya stepped out into the corridor. No more sounds reached her ears from downstairs. The innkeeper must have finished cleaning and gone to bed as well. Nothing seemed amiss. A line of sweat broke out along her hairline as she reached the end of the hallway and stood in front of Gregor's door. She wasn't sure if she was sweating out of fear or excitement. She grinned. It would be Gregor's best wish come true when she walked in there to check on him. Anya reached out for Gregor's doorknob. It felt warm. Ahead of her, Anya could see the bed. Gregor had drawn the covers up over his body. She smiled. Anya moved towards the window to close the open drapes. There was no sense waking him when the sun came up first thing. She looked at him sleeping and realized she couldn't hear any breathing.
Gregor?
Anya moved to his side.
Gregor?
A pillow fell out from under the covers. Anya tore back the blankets and saw the rest of the pillows bunched up to make a line in the bed. Gregor was gone.
Innkeeper! Innkeeper!
What is it?
Gregor is gone. Have you seen him?
Not since you and he left me with a pile of dishes to clean. Now I am going back to bed.
You don't understand. Gregor was drunk when I took him up to bed. There's no way he could have made it down the stairs without making a ruckus.
So? What are you saying?
Someone must have taken him.
Are you joking with me, miss?
No, I'm not.
Do you see that plank? It is 5 inches thick and 10 feet long. Nothing is getting through that door. And nothing has gotten through that door since you and Gregor came back this evening.
Don't you have a back door?
When Horsedam started hunting people in the village, we boarded it up and moved to a shelf in front of it. It is as impenetrable as the front door.
What about the windows, then? Surely the windows down here open.
Ah, they are all bolted when winter comes around.
Could someone have unbolted them?
Who would do such a thing?
What about you?
You had also a lot to drink tonight, yes? Perhaps you should go back to bed. I am willing to bet that in the morning, your friend Gregor will be right back where you left him.
You don't believe me.
I am very tired.
Wait here.
Anya ran back upstairs and threw on her clothes and parka. Then she stomped back downstairs to find the innkeeper huddled over a cup of coffee. Anya pointed to the front door.
Open it.
What?
You heard me. Open the door. I don't care if you don't believe me. I'm going to look for my friend, with or without your help.
It's freezing outside. If you wish to go out, you will do so alone.
Fine.
The innkeeper got to his feet, shuffling over to the wooden plank.
Once I let you out, I am putting this back in place. You will not be able to get back in here until after sunup. Do you understand?
Just open the door.
Yeah.
The innkeeper shook his head, but turned back to the door. Anya stalked past the innkeeper, out into the night. The man had been right. The temperature felt as if it was at least 10 below. Anya pulled up the collar on her parka and turned into the wind, taking a faceful of snow as she did so. She stared at the ground. There were no footprints of any kind marking their way through the drifts. And while it was snowing heavily enough, it hadn't been long enough to cover any prints. There had to be another way out of the inn. Anya turned and looked around the village. Every light was off. Every window was dark. She turned and looked down the main street. A glint of dull yellow burned through one of the windows in the church. Father Jakob? Anya started walking toward the church. Perhaps he was still up. Maybe he was even still grieving about the creature. If nothing else, maybe he would be able to shed some light on what might have happened to Gregor. He seemed to have good insight into people, and he had known Gregor for a number of years. Plus, she couldn't go back to the hotel. As Anya waded through the snowdrifts, her boots left twin lines in her wake. She kept her head down to ward off the wind. Gregor couldn't have gone out on a night like this on his own. He was too drunk to do so. Someone must have taken him. Anya mounted the steps of the church and made her way onto the porch. She could still see faint light coming from somewhere inside. Anya turned away from the door. Maybe she could walk around the church to see if she could look into any of the windows. If Father Jakob was still awake, he might hear her if she banged on a window. At the bottom of the steps, she turned right and walked along next to the church. She could see the light better now, and it seemed to be coming from the kitchen at the back of the church. Anya continued until she reached the back window. It was too high to see in through. She needed something to stand on. Across the yard, she spotted some overturned wooden barrels. She rolled one over and placed it in front of the window. She tapped it down into the snow, hoping that the buttressing would help support her weight.
Here goes nothing.
She jumped onto the barrel and stood up on it. She could see a single candle flickering on the kitchen table, but no Father Jakob. Nothing moved within the church.
Where is he?
She had to get in the church, but there were bars on the kitchen window. Anya walked around to the front of the church again. By the front door, there was a window to the side that she presumed was the office for the church. At least it wasn't stained glass. Anya found the window catch with her hand, then eased the window up so she could squeeze through. Anya stood and looked around. A small, battered desk and chair stood in the corner. The outside wind scattered the papers that were on top of it. Aside from the desk, bookshelves lined the wall. But the writing was all Cyrillic, and Anya couldn't read any of it. She found the door to the main part of the church and turned the knob. Anya passed the pews and looked around. Churches at night always made her nervous. With nothing going on inside them, they seemed so dark and inhospitable. The statues, the candles, and the faces all peering down at her made her distinctly uncomfortable. She walked down the aisle, running her hands over the rough-hewn wood of the pews. She could see hymn books stacked neatly, just inside on the benches themselves. All around her, the church lay dormant. Anya wondered when Mass was. She'd forgotten to ask Father Jakob about that. Not that she was exactly a church-going kind of woman, but she did like to cover her bases.
Father Jakob!
The noise had come from the direction of the kitchen. Maybe he's hard of hearing, she thought. Maybe he takes a hearing aid off each night and doesn't know I'm here. He could be back there enjoying some coffee. Coffee sounded good to her. Anya wasn't sure if she recognized the sound. She hoped it wasn't what she thought it was. The door to the root cellar.
Hello?
Anya stood still but heard nothing. She began moving again toward the altar. Beyond it, the door to the kitchen beckoned. She passed the altar and headed for the door. Inside the kitchen, Anya saw the candle she'd seen from outside. It had been extinguished. Anya felt the wax. It was still warm and pliable. Whoever had blown out the candle had done so only recently. Was it Father Jakob? Had he heard her and hidden? Maybe he didn't know it was her. Anya turned and walked back through the door into the church. From where she stood, the darkness and the faint light from the snow outside twisted together, forming intricate shadows that seemed to grow and shrink with every breath. Anya's eyes searched the depths of the church, but she could see nothing. She turned. A thunderous explosion slammed into her head, and Anya dropped as more blackness raced for her.
Oh.
Anya tried to open her eyes. Fortunately, bright lights that might have made her wince didn't greet her. Instead, she woke in total darkness. She couldn't move. She flexed her wrists and found them bound somehow, as were her legs. Her parka had vanished, but she still had her sweater and pants on. She shivered. She had no idea where she was. Anya closed her eyes again, straining her ears for any sound that might help her figure out her location, but she heard very little. Was she underground? A thought came to her. Maybe Khosadam had knocked her out and dragged her back into the root cellar. Maybe Anya was going to be the next meal. No, she had killed the thing. Whoever had knocked her out, it wasn't Khosadam. But who did that leave? Father Jakob? The old priest didn't seem a likely candidate. He could barely move earlier when she and Gregor had come up from the root cellar. His body was old and looked racked with arthritis. Gregor. It wouldn't be the first time a guy had double-crossed her. In the darkness, Anya couldn't see what bound her hands and feet. She worked her fingers, trying to get at the knots, but it was impossible. Someone who knew how to restrain humans had bound her wrists. Another sign that it was probably Gregor.
Bastard.
Anya shook her head. And to think she had almost slept with him. God knows what would have happened if she had. Now that her ears had adjusted a little bit more to her environment, she could pick up small sounds. And from what she heard, it definitely seemed likely that she was somewhere underground. But where? She had to do something to loosen the bonds and slip out. If Gregor was behind this, then she couldn't trust him to keep her alive much longer. Especially since he knew about the sword. Anya slumped back. He knew about it. Why the hell did she take it out when he was around? Gregor knowing that she had the sword meant he would make damned sure that she couldn't bring her hands together and grab it from wherever it waited. Anya stiffened. Was someone in the room with her? Was it Gregor? Was he here, all ready to kill her? She waited, straining her eyes to see.
Hello? Hello? Who's that?
Anya?
Bob?
Yeah, it's me.
It can't be. I saw you. You died in my arms.
I thought so, too. I guess we were wrong.
How can this be? Where are we?
I don't know. I woke up a few hours ago. Felt like hell. And then someone came in and gave me something. I passed out again.
Are you in a bed?
I think so. But I've got some straps around me. I can't move.
I'm tied down, too.
Oh, damn.
What's the last thing you remember before waking up here?
I was in your arms. I remember it being very cold. And then I think I just saw blackness coming for me. That was it.
Any pain?
Well, surprisingly, no. And the next thing I knew, I was here.
Well, we can't stay like this. We've got to get out of here before whoever did this comes back and decides to kill us for good.
Maybe they don't want us dead.
Huh?
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. But if I was already dead and gone, why would someone save me like this? You'd think they'd just want me out of the way, right?
Yeah.
And you're not dead yet either.
What do you think they want?
I don't know. But clearly, us being alive is a vital part of it.
Anya licked her lips. If they were being kept alive for a reason, that meant there might be a chance for escape. Good. As soon as their captors made a mistake, Anya would be right there to capitalize on it.
I guess things will get interesting from here on out, huh?
It sure looks that way.
I think Gregor might be behind this.
What makes you think that?
It's just a feeling, I guess. Like how he wasn't honest with us about being an intelligence operative and all that.
Oh, poor Gregor. He really is a nice guy and all. He's just not as smart as he thinks he is, though.
What do you mean?
I knew he was a spy.
You did?
Of course.
Thanks for letting me in on the secret.
Don't be upset, Anya. I couldn't tell you. It would make the ruse all the better.
What ruse?
I've been feeding him false information. While Gregor's been thinking he's wormed classified data out of me, he's actually been getting bogus material supplied to me by the government.
You just keep unloading surprise after surprise on me.
They knew about Gregor a while back. My brother contacted me about it, and we set up a plan. Gregor's a nice guy, and I'm genuinely fond of him. But the whole thing has been a setup.
Wow.
We decided the best way to really seal the deal was to bring you in on this dig. You're naturally suspicious of everyone anyway.
I am?
Sure. So Gregor wouldn't suspect a thing, and it worked perfectly.
Up until you died.
Nah, that just helped things even more.
You're an amazing man, Bob.
A brilliant light blinded Anya as the door opened. She blinked furiously, trying to adjust her eyes so she could see who had come in. Gradually, Anya's eyes cleared, although the person remained silhouetted in front of the bright lights.
I see you're both awake.
Father Jakob?
You may also refer to me as Dr. Tchertchenko. It is my real name, not some silly concoction dreamed up by my superiors when I came to this wretched outpost.
What is this all about?
I'll tell you, but not yet. I don't want to ruin the surprise. I believe you'll indulge me this final time, won't you?
What choice do we have?
You ought to be showing more gratitude than that. After all, I saved your friend's life.
You did this?
Of course. And you were in need of help, my dear man. If I'd gotten to you much later, you wouldn't have had a chance. As it is, you're still in rough shape.
Well, I feel great.
Anya looked and saw the multiple tubes and wires connected to Bob's bed in the light. As he'd noted, wide leather straps held him in place. Jerchenko pointed.
The straps are for your own protection, I assure you. I couldn't risk you waking up and trying to move. Any action like that might tear the sutures I used to repair all the damage the bullet caused. In your case, Anya, the bonds are more for our protection than yours.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sure you do, my dear girl. I can't take a chance that you'd ruin my laboratory here.
Let me guess. You're doing the mad scientist routine. Another crazy genius hell-bent on creating something, right?
The mad scientist label has never applied to me, I assure you. What I'm after here is nothing less than revolutionary.
Anya looked at the man. The guise of Father Jakob no longer seemed relevant. Jerchenko seemed healthy and strong, even if he was older. That would make him more dangerous than before.
Does this have anything to do with what you told me and Gregor earlier about the cannibal soldier?
Of course. Didn't you yourself see the results and battle it in the root cellar? The thing you called Hosodam. She was one of my earliest experiments.
You did that to her?
She tried to escape from the mines. She was found by the KGB and told she would die by firing squad unless she volunteered to be used in my experiments.
She volunteered?
Oh, indeed she did. Although I must admit, the poor thing probably would have opted for death had she known what awaited her. But regardless, she came to my lab, and the rest, as they say, is history.
You destroyed her.
I gave her a new life. Don't be so presumptuous as to think I robbed that girl of anything. I gave her power and strength beyond her wildest imagination.
You turned her into a beast, and one I would not have killed unless I absolutely had to.
You put her out of her misery. Isn't that what you claim she was enduring?
If you're looking for a creative way to thank me, I'd suggest letting me and Bob go.
And ruin the surprise? Not at all. I wouldn't hear of it.
Is it about Gregor? We already figured out he was a bad guy.
You really think you know it all, don't you? You've got it all figured out.
So what is it, then? You're saying Gregor is not involved?
Gregor was a nuisance, just as you were. When you three came poking around the village and got caught up in the silliness of the Hosodam legend, I was forced to take steps that I would not have otherwise taken.
Where is Gregor? What did you do with him?
Not so much with. The better question is, what did I do to him?
Jerchenko stepped back, and Anya could see into the next room. Bright lights illuminated the entire scene. She could see a gurney, and on top of that, she saw Gregor's body. Limp. Lifeless.
You killed him.
Why must everything be about death with you, miscreant? Isn't it possible that I could be redefining life?
What have you done to him?
Gregor will be the next generation of my experiment, and I will finally see it as a total success. The lessons I learned from my prototypes were invaluable to me. Gregor is giving me a chance to put those lessons into action.
You're turning him into one of those things?
Easy, Mr. Gulliver. I wouldn't do that if I were you. If you rip the sutures, I will not be able to save you again.
How long until I'm able to move?
A matter of days, I think. You took the repairs quite well, but I imagine that's due to your heightened athletic state. Still, don't go abusing the repairs just yet.
When I'm able to move again, you'd better be dead already, because I'm going to wrap my hands around that scrawny neck of yours and squeeze till brains leak out of your ears.
Unfortunately, it'll be too late. By that time, I will have completed my work on Gregor, and he will be ready to unleash upon the world.
You're going to set him free?
Why not? It's the reason I've been in this horrid village for over 30 years, masquerading as a priest, so I can continue my work without interference.
My God, you really are insane.
The greatest minds have always had to endure ridicule from the mediocre.
You're paraphrasing. Completely unoriginal.
Very well. You'll see how it all plays out. Because within the next hour, Gregor there will be reborn as a new man. A fantastic soldier capable of extraordinary feats.
Jerchenko came farther into the room, and Anya could see the smile on his face. The twisted look made her stomach turn.
You see, when Gregor awakens, he will be quite hungry. And naturally, he'll want to eat. You, Mr. Gulliver, will be his first meal.
No!
Don't worry, Anya. I haven't forgotten about you. I have an even greater purpose for you.
You're sick.
I'll leave you two alone to mull over what I just told you.
Jakob flipped a switch near the door, and overhead, a dull yellow bulb offered some anemic light.
Well, that certainly wasn't what I was hoping to hear.
Anya yanked in frustration at the restraints around her arms, her mind racing.
I need to get out of these bonds if we have any hope of escaping.
We have a problem there.
What?
Well, look at me. I'm not exactly in mint condition here. You might be able to escape somehow, but I'm stuck where I am. Unless, like the quack says, I want to rip out all the sewing he did.
Then we won't escape.
We won't?
No. We will stay here and kill Jerchenko.
And Gregor, what about him?
I'm hoping it won't come to it, but if I have to, I'll deal with him as well.
First and foremost, it would appear that we need to figure out how to get you free.
Ugh, I'm tied down too tight.
Anya knew she couldn't draw the sword with her hands bound. Even if she could, her wrists were braced so stiffly that the sword wouldn't be able to cut the restraints. Anya leaned back against the board and chewed her lip for a moment. There had to be something she could do to draw the sword and somehow use it to free herself.
What about your feet?
What about them?
Are they tied as tightly as your hands?
Anya tried moving her feet. There was a bit more give to the bonds, but she didn't think it was enough to free herself.
I don't think there's anything I can do there either.
Just a thought.
Anya closed her eyes. She visualized the sword. At first, it seemed like it might not work, but then she really focused, and suddenly she could see the sword hanging in front of her in brilliant light. She studied the sword, marveling at the length of the blade and how it seemed to have an aura all its own. She looked at the hilt. She knew how it felt when it rested in her hands, how secure she felt when she wielded it, and how much a part of her it was. Anya could see the sword.
I need you.
She concentrated. She saw the sword. She saw her mind's energy wrapping itself around the hilt. She saw her mind drawing it out into this world. Anya opened her eyes. The sword was lying on her stomach. She looked at Bob. He had his eyes closed, and his lips were moving in silent prayer or concentration. Anya worked her hands over the edge of her blade and ran the restraints over them.
Hurry, Anya, he's coming!
Anya clutched the sword in both hands and leaned forward, cutting the restraints on her feet. Anya hopped off the table and rushed to one side of the door.
Here goes nothing.
Jerchenko came in with his head down, shaking it as he thumbed his way through several keys on a ring.
Sorry to keep you waiting, but I forgot which key it was for the lock. What?
Howdy, Doc.
Jerchenko turned. Anya leaned over and placed one edge of the sword blade under his chin.
I think it's time you and me had ourselves a little talk.
Where did you get that, Anya?
So this is the miraculous sword that Gregor told me about. I'm surprised that you were able to draw it with your hands tied. Next time I will use something stronger.
Or maybe you'll be dead before you get the chance.
It is always a possibility.
You're not fazed by that?
You've seen what I have created here. Do you think I was so naive that I wasn't aware of the potential for danger? That my creations could go out of control at any moment and turn on me?
She did go out of control. Or did you already forget?
I lied. She never went berserk. I released her. I allowed her to explore what she was. It was all a part of the research.
You deliberately killed those villagers?
Well, indirectly.
You're guilty of so many crimes, I don't even know where to start.
I'm guilty of no crimes. As I mentioned already, my work is protected.
Doesn't matter. Once we're done here, we'll make sure your work is brought to the attention of the rest of the world. You'll be held accountable.
Anya felt her anger welling up. She could slice his head off right now and make sure that Yurchenko's work never saw the light of day. One cut, and it would be over. She snapped the blade away from his neck. He sneered.
Don't tell me you're beholden to some sort of honor system.
Anya, maybe you just ought to kill him?
Not yet. Get back into the laboratory, Yurchenko.
Why?
I can cut you a million times and never kill you. It will hurt like hell, though, so I suggest you do what I say.
Fine.
I'll be next door for a moment, Bob. You okay?
Yeah, just don't take too long.
Anya nudged Yurchenko into the laboratory. Anya could see the gurneys and all kinds of medical equipment. It looked as if they were in a large underground cavern that had been hollowed out many years ago. Across the room, Anya could see Gregor's body. Tubes and wires ran to various machines. She recognized some of them, but others looked completely alien to her.
Is Gregor dead?
He's resting. The transformation tends to be quite exhausting.
I want him put back the way he was.
What? It would kill him. I cannot make him the way he was. He has implants now that would be impossible to remove.
Why?
I had to make it that way. What if others, like him, found that they could be transformed back? They would attempt to do it themselves and the entire project would fail. No, they must realize that there is no going back. Only then will they learn to accept the new reality of their situation.
Do it! I won't ask again. And if you tell me it can't be done, then I will kill you. Bet on it.
You really mean to go through with this?
Yes.
All right. But don't say I didn't warn you. I need a gown and a mask. Is it okay?
Fine.
Anya moved with Yurchenko to the closet. Yurchenko pulled on a set of scrubs. He placed a face mask over his mouth and then walked to the sink.
Would you mind turning on the water? I need to scrub up before I crack him open again.
Anya leaned in and turned on the tap. Yurchenko lathered and scrubbed his hands, then rinsed them. He nodded to Anya. As he toweled off, he kept staring at her.
Anya?
What?
Are you absolutely sure you want me to do this?
Just get working. Tell me what you have to do.
You wouldn't understand.
Try me.
I've injected liquid metal into his hands, feet, and jaw. It is already cooled and hardened. To undo it, I must superheat the metal to make it pliable again. Only then would I be able to remove it.
How hot do you have to get the metal?
Much too hot for humans to endure. There's a chance his system could go into shock from that alone.
Anya bit her lip. Poor Gregor. A shell of the man he used to be only hours before. And now some freak of nature waiting to wake up and eat.
Do it.
I need a scalpel to cut into him. Is that okay?
Go ahead. But don't try anything funny or I'll cut you in half before you get two steps closer to me.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Yurchenko stepped towards a stainless steel tray holding an array of medical instruments. Anya frowned. Why was he so cooperative? Yurchenko lifted a scalpel from the tray and held it up to the light.
Isn't this a marvel? The way it can be so brittle and yet so lethal. Amazing tools, these scalpels. Well, here we go.
Do it!
Ah! Anya felt something pierce her skin from behind. She dropped the sword and slumped to the floor. Anya blinked her eyes in the light as she came to. Unlike any of the other times she'd been knocked out lately, there was no throbbing in her skull. Bright light made her wince, but then she adjusted.
Welcome back, Miss Creed. How are you feeling?
Why do you care?
Just checking for any after effects of the drug.
I'm fine.
Anya turned. Beyond Yurchenko, a face she recognized smiled back at her. He didn't look as demure and submissive as he had back at the hotel, though. The innkeeper smiled and took a bow. He seemed distinctly pleased with himself. Anya found it nauseating.
So it's you.
This, Miss Creed, is my good friend and assistant Tupolev. I believe you've met him before under very different circumstances.
We've met. And now that I know who he really is, I'll be sure to kill him after I kill you.
I told him you were a funny one. He didn't believe me.
Why didn't you restrain me?
Why bother? Take it as a measure of my good faith.
Good faith? Are you insane?
Hardly. I'd like to offer a truce.
Why?
I can use someone like you.
There's no way I would ever work with you.
Tupolev didn't think you'd go for it, but I insisted on trying.
Maybe he's the smarter of the two of you.
He suggested I just kill you and get it over with.
I'm comfortable with the thought of dying.
Really?
Sure, what about you? Are you ready to die?
I've been ready to die for years. Both of us have. But we're not allowed to die until our work is successful.
What in the world does that mean?
How old do you think I am?
60.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Is this where you tell me you're actually 500 years old?
No, don't be ridiculous. But Tupolev and I are both 95 years old.
I don't believe you.
It's true. We were hired by Stalin to work on this project. The last thing he said to us was that we could not die until we successfully completed the task.
And how did you manage that?
Behold, the serum that Tupolev holds. Our fountain of youth. It's a genetic mixture of stem cells combined with supernutrients. We inject ourselves with it once a week, and that keeps us going.
It's not possible.
You're one to talk about impossibilities, Anya. After all, you seem to have the ability to summon some kind of sword at will. Now really, is it fair to say we're an impossibility?
Anya glanced around. The gurney that held Gregor had vanished. She swung her head in the other direction, toward the door she'd come through originally. It was closed. There was no way to tell if Bob was still in there.
Where is he?
Who?
Gregor.
I would have thought she'd ask about Bob first, Mr. Jerchenko. I guess we were wrong about who she cares about more.
Where's Bob?
No fair. You asked about Gregor first.
Just tell me where they are.
Gregor is fine. He's awake.
You fixed him?
Of course not. I left him just the way he was. He'd be dead otherwise, I told you that.
And what about Bob?
Ah, well, Bob is also awake. Although I suspect at the moment he is quite anxious.
Why?
I told you what would be happening, Anya. It's not like it was a surprise or anything.
Anya hopped off the table. Tupolev leveled a gun at her. Jerchenko held up his hand.
No. Is this really necessary? Tupolev there has a trigger finger that is unrivaled for a 95-year-old man, I assure you. If you make a move that looks even vaguely suspicious, you'll be dead in short order.
Tell me where they are.
You'll find them over there.
Anya walked to the window. It looked down upon a wide area, roughly 30 feet in diameter. In the center of the room, Bob lay in his hospital bed. Across from him, Gregor stood. But he didn't look like Gregor anymore. A monster had replaced him. His hands hung by his sides. Anya could see the sharpened metal claws and toenails, and she could see a mouth full of metallic teeth clenched menacingly.
I'll bet he's hungry.
Anya turned and saw Jerchenko and Tupolev coming toward her. She turned back. Bob's face was a mask of terror.
It's all in the name of research, my dear. All we have to do is switch off the force field.
So why haven't you done it already?
Why, we wanted to give you a choice.
What choice?
You can still save Bob.
How?
Fight Gregor. We need field data to surmise how well he will adapt to a skilled foe. You fit the bill quite well. Much better than any of the locals we could hope to kidnap thanks to Tupolev's inn.
And if I fight him?
No guarantees. He should kill you. But you might also kill Gregor. And if that happens, then obviously Bob doesn't get eaten.
And we go free?
Well, now I suppose that would be something we'd need to discuss when the time came. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
I'm not giving you what you ask unless I've got some sort of guarantee.
Then you'll stand here and watch Bob die.
Anya, help me, please!
What's it going to be, my dear?
Anya looked at the two old men. She noticed that Tupolev held a remote control in his hand.
Is that for the force field?
Just in case you had any ideas about drawing your sword and cutting us down. My last act would be to release Gregor. And I'm willing to bet he can eat Bob before you can break the window.
It's decision time, Anya. We can't wait any longer.
Too much to do.
Anya looked back into the improvised arena. Gregor was already straining at the edge of the force field. He swung his fist towards his victim, but it was forced back as the electricity jolted him.
What's it going to be?
You'll bring Bob out of there if I go in?
Immediately.
And you'll take care of him?
Of course.
If I die inside there, Bob goes free.
Whatever you say.
Show me how to get inside.
Right this way, my dear.
Jerchenko led Anya down a set of metal stairs that she hadn't noticed in the corner of the room. In front of her, she could see a metal door that looked as if they'd stolen it from a submarine.
We find that the new creatures are somewhat likely to have temper tantrums. They stay down here until they get acclimated.
Well, let's get this over with.
You'll use your sword, right?
Yes, I will.
Fascinating. I wish you'd indulge me a little bit and tell me how it is that you came by it.
It's a long story. As soon as I go in, you wheel Bob out. You make sure he's okay, that his sutures haven't come out.
I will check. It did look like he was getting a bit frantic in there, didn't it?
Of course he was.
I hope you enjoy yourself, Anya.
Bob!
Anya! Thank God!
Anya ran to Bob. Being down here with Gregor so close, it was no wonder that Bob was terrified. She was starting to get scared as well.
Get me out of here, Anya.
Don't worry, Bob. You're safe. Jerchenko is going to look after you, okay?
What about you?
Bob, I've got to fight Gregor. They want to see how well he does against someone like me.
You mean someone who knows how to fight?
Well, it's time for us to go, Bob.
Take care of yourself. They said they'd let you go if things don't work out for me.
Like they'd keep their word.
No, you don't know that.
Look, Anya, I know this won't be easy for you, but trust me. I don't think there's anything of Gregor left in that thing. I've stared into his eyes for the last 20 minutes, and it terrified me.
I'll be okay.
Best of luck. I think you'll need it.
When I'm done with Gregor, I'm coming for you and Tupolev. If you've got any last-minute things to do, I suggest you take care of them now. I won't grant you any quarter.
Anya turned. Gregor was tearing across the arena. Anya stared at him, trying to make out any feature of the man he once was, but she saw no recognition in his eyes. The sword was in her hands. Ahead of her, Gregor's eyes flashed when he saw the brilliant blade. Above her, Anya saw Jerchenko and Tupolev at the window. Abruptly, the force field dropped. Anya circled as Gregor stalked her. She could see the long claws implanted on his hands and feet. Gregor's mouth parted, and Anya could see the long teeth that Jerchenko had given him. Gregor lashed out with a high roundhouse kick aimed right at her head. She barely had time to duck. Anya dipped low and cut up at a diagonal angle. Gregor lifted his left hand and deflected the blade. Gregor launched another kick at her right side. Anya backed away as his toes cut through the bottom part of her pants. She shook her head. Gregor continued to circle. Gregor came at her with a front kick and then slashed down with his right hand. Anya pivoted and ducked under the slash. She came up and cut left to right. Her blade cut into the top of his thigh muscle, drawing blood. Anya winced at Gregor's reaction. Drool flowed from his mouth, and he put one of his hands on the wound. It came away bright red. He licked his hand clean and then smiled at Anya.
I'll taste you next.
He talks? Anya's mind swam. Gregor was definitely an improvement on the Khosadam that she'd fought before. Gregor came flying at her, raking his claws down on her. Anya brought the sword up again, deflecting the strike. He began a rain of blows, and she blocked each one, moving back at the same time. Anya knew she was running out of room. Gregor jumped into the air and lashed out with both of his legs. They caught her square in the chest, and Anya braced herself. The jolt of the kick sent her flying backward right into the wall. Her sword lay nearby. Anya grabbed it and tried to get back to her feet. Gregor prowled around the arena. His face bore a wide grin, and drool dripped from his jaws. Anya knew he'd try to kill her the next time he came in for her. Gregor's eyes flashed from side to side as he circled, as if trying to figure out a weakness in Anya's defense. His toes dug into the concrete floor, and his hands snapped together like pincers. Gregor leapt. Four sets of wicked claws streaked toward Anya with terrifying speed. Anya brought up the sword. The blade punctured Gregor's sternum and drove all the way through. He landed on top of Anya. Anya felt the sudden rush of blood drenching her.
Thank you, Anya.
I'm so sorry, Gregor.
Anya pushed him off her, and Gregor's body slumped to the side. His eyes rolled back. Anya tore the blade from Gregor's dead body and wiped her brow. Then she turned to look up at the window. She was sure that Yurchenko and Tupolev would be watching in horror. There was no one there. Anya frowned. She wanted to put the sword away, but she didn't know what might be waiting for her. Yurchenko and Tupolev might be planning to double-cross her. She couldn't take the chance, not with Bob in desperate need of medical evacuation. Anya walked to the door.
Open the door!
She placed the sword against the wall and tried turning the wheel lock. She looked back at the window. Yurchenko and Tupolev were back. This couldn't be good. Yurchenko waved to Anya and then pointed to a grill near the door.
Congratulations, Miss Creed.
I did what you asked. Now let me get Bob out of here.
What would you say if we told you that we were so impressed that we'd like you to stay here with us for a while?
That wasn't part of the deal, Yurchenko.
We have several instruments located throughout the arena that measure all sorts of things, including reaction speed, power, endurance, that sort of thing. You were off the chart on all of them. It was quite amazing. We wonder if it has something to do with your special sword there.
I don't know what the sword can and cannot do.
Exactly. That's why we'd like you to stay around for a little bit. Humor us by showing us how it all works. And once we're done, we'll let you go.
I'm not going to be your guinea pig.
Then Bob will die.
Bob's got nothing to do with this.
But you'd like to see him live out his life, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Then the choice is, once again, yours.
Anya bit her lip and felt the tang of blood as she tore off some skin.
What do you want from me?
Just a chance to ask you some questions.
That's it?
Of course.
Anya looked at Yurchenko and Tupolev. Both of them wore such sweet smiles it made her stomach churn in disgust.
All right.
You agree?
I said yes.
Excellent.
At the far end of the arena, she could see grillwork high up on the wall. A faint yellow gas was seeping out of it. Anya spun back to face Yurchenko and Tupolev.
The hell is that?
Just a little security for Tupolev and myself.
I told you that I would agree to answer your questions. There's no need for any gas.
What if you try something on us? After all, you've still got your sword.
I thought you wanted to ask me questions about it. Is it better if I have it available for you?
We'd prefer you put it away.
Turn the gas off.
Not yet.
Anya glanced back at the grates. More of the yellow gas floated into the arena. Already, she was starting to feel faint and somewhat woozy. They wanted to turn her into another Gregor, only better, one equipped with a sword. Anya looked up at the window. She held up her sword and pointed it at them.
This isn't going to work! I know what you're up to. I won't let you do it to me like you did to Gregor.
Anya had to get out of there before it was too late. Otherwise, both she and Bob would die. The gas continued to seep into the arena. Anya wasn't sure what kind of gas it was, but she knew for sure it was beginning to affect her. She tried to keep herself higher than the gas, which seemed to hover at about waist level. Anya figured that once it knocked her out, they'd drain the room and then come in and get her. After that, she'd be the guinea pig she never wanted to be. She glared up at Yurchenko and Tupolev. The thought of all the other people they'd probably killed made Anya feel sick, If not for her and Bob, she had to find some way to avenge their deaths, at least.
What, am I channeling Joan of Arc now, too?
Anya hefted the sword. She wasn't sure if it could shatter glass, but she'd find out soon. Anya moved farther back into the arena. Jerchenko and Tupolev didn't seem to pay her any mind. Anya judged the distance and the angle. It just might work. But what about her? How was she going to get up there to escape? The viewing platform stood about 10 feet above the arena area, and there was no way Anya could leap that high on her own. Her head swam. She had to try and jump it. If she failed, then at least she might take one of those sick bastards with her. She backed up some and turned the sword so it sat in her hand like a spear. Anya aimed its tip right at the space between Jerchenko and Tupolev. With any luck, she might rip them both apart. And if the sword penetrated the glass, then there might be a chance the gas would dissipate through the break. Anya shook her head. It was the only chance she had. She jogged forward and released her sword. As the sword rocketed toward the window, Jerchenko and Tupolev suddenly saw the movement out of the corners of their eyes. They both turned. Anya saw the looks of surprise dash across their faces, and she smiled. Jerchenko and Tupolev might have been ingesting stem cell shakes, but their reaction to the sword looked incredibly slow to Anya. Jerchenko started to move forward and bumped into Tupolev, who had turned to run in the opposite direction. The sword kept moving through the plate glass, ripping into Tupolev's body from behind, shish kebabbing him as the tip jutted out of his chest. Anya wasn't through. She took a running start at the wall, trying to generate momentum as she did so. As she moved, the yellow gas churned in her wake. Anya hit the base of the wall and drove herself up, taking another step off the wall as if she was running up it vertically. She reached up and grabbed the ledge. She grabbed with her other hand and then pulled herself up and into the laboratory. Jerchenko had been knocked off his feet when Tupolev took the sword in his chest. Bob was nowhere to be seen. Tupolev was definitely dead. Anya grabbed the hilt of her sword. She ran over to Jerchenko, hauling him up by his lapels. She thrust the blade under his chin.
Turn off the gas!
Jerchenko nodded, already feeling the effect as some of the gas leaked into the laboratory. Anya watched as he leaned over to a control panel.
Where is he?
Who?
Bob.
You killed Tupolev in cold blood.
I'll do the same thing to you unless you do exactly what I tell you to do.
Yes, you've made that abundantly clear. But tell me something. Do you really think you'll get away with this?
Why wouldn't I?
Well, obviously, Bob is in need of medical care. There's really not a doctor around these parts for miles. The closest hospital is back in Magadan. You're a long way from rescuing Bob, my dear.
Stop calling me that.
As you wish.
Where is he?
He's back in the holding room. He's fine right now, but as I've already warned you, moving him would be a grave mistake.
What is it you want, Jerchenko?
I want amnesty, of course. I don't want to be tied to this fiasco. Tupolev is dead. Let him take the fall for it.
So, what now?
I propose something of a truce.
You're kidding me.
I assure you, my dear... Sorry. I assure you, Miss Creed, there is nothing humorous about my proposal.
So how does this work? I leave you here with Bob? I go get help, then what, you disappear or something?
Actually, I think I'd probably be fine right where I am. I think I can go right back to playing the role of Father Jakob, the poor, unaware soul who had a network under his feet and never knew it.
And you'll continue to do what you've been doing.
Would you believe me if I told you I'd be a good boy now?
Definitely not.
Then I won't insult your intelligence.
What guarantee do I have that you won't kill Bob as soon as I leave?
I have no reason to kill Bob, and I'm more than content with fading away for the time being. You go. I'll look after Bob while you're gone, and when you get help and are on your way back, simply call me on my cell phone and let me know so I can extricate myself from this.
And resume your role as the village priest.
These poor people. They need all the spiritual guidance I can offer.
Anya hated making a deal with Jerchenko, but she needed his expert help to take care of Bob.
I need a minute with Bob before I go.
So, I take it we have ourselves a deal?
Yes.
Care to make it official?
Jerchenko held out his hand. Anya seriously considered cutting it off, but resisted the urge. Instead, she simply looked at him.
If you double-cross me, I will slice all the skin from your body and roll you in salt.
That actually sounds like it might be fun.
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.